I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, no one should be surprised by what happened over the weekend at the White House Correspondents Association. We'll talk about the mainstreaming of political violence. Plus, the state's chief law enforcer defends his office helping Democratic lawmakers undermine the Constitution. And the UW women's soccer team is set to compete in a match this week against preteen boys. Weird. I wonder if they'd ever do a match the other way around. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We go on vacation for a week and someone tries to kill the president again. Look, as long as America has existed, people have tried to kill the president. It's not an anomaly to have an assassination attempt against a president. I think it happens to President Trump more than most presidents. And so, you know, I'm not even going to get into today. I think the horror of the fact that you have people who would do what this man did, and we'll get into his background a little bit. I think what is so disturbing now are the number of people who think it's okay, are the number of people who claim it's staged. And this weird, I mean, something like this, a scene like this, where you have people ducking for cover, the vice president being rushed off stage, members of the Secret Service rushing the president out. There was a time not too long ago in America where a scene like that would have brought the country together. And when everybody would universally say it's a bad thing for anyone to try to kill the president of the United States, those days are so far behind us. And there was really two camps that I think Democrats were divided into, with a few exceptions. I mean, I don't believe every single Democrat thinks it's okay to try to assassinate Trump. I don't think every single Democrat, believes that Trump is a fascist who should be treated like Hitler and should be hunted down and killed. Of course, I don't believe that. But I will tell you, going online, there's an awful lot of people on the left who are divided into two camps. Either, oh, I wish he wouldn't have missed. I wish the president would have died. Not an uncommon sentiment on the internet. And then there was the camp, almost more bizarre, saying, oh, it was staged. The president, you know, knew this was going to happen. For whatever reason, this would be staged again. And I have friends and family sharing posts suggesting that it was staged. This is a very disturbing place to be as a country. This sentiment is what we try to fight against every single day on a show called Undivided. And you've got this horrible ordeal where somebody went in to the White House Correspondents Association dinner, where some of the most powerful people in the world are, guns blazing, and outside, these were the signs: death to tyrants, death to all of them. This is becoming a mainstream sentiment of the Democratic Party. It is. Political violence, the excuses to target Trump, the vilification of Trump. You know, when I saw one of the most disturbing videos I saw was Stephen Miller trying to get his very pregnant wife out of the room.
Katie, do you have all your stuff?
Yep, I'm fine.
Go to your right. Go to your right.
Anyone with a heart should be able to see the humanity of that. Anyone whose brain hasn't been completely fried by Trump derangement syndrome and from social media algorithms should be able to see the humanity in that and say, here's this woman, very pregnant, in fear for her life, and her husband trying to lead her out of the room. When I saw that, the very first thing I thought of was this video I took at a No Kings protest in Seattle a few months ago.
Who are you going to kill?
Nazis.
Who do you define as a Nazi?
What do you mean? It's pretty...
In this context, who's a Nazi?
Stephen Miller's a Nazi.
So you're going to kill Stephen Miller?
If I had a chance, yeah, I would.
Out in the open, brazen, and I remember after him, some guy came and justified it, said, oh, that would be justified, wouldn't it? To murder a member of the Trump administration who they don't like. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I saw Stephen Miller with his hand around, his arms around his wife, trying to shield her. And then the internet saying, oh, he was using her as a human shield. That's what the left on the internet, Stephen Miller using his pregnant wife as a human shield. Again, your brain has to be so utterly fried by the algorithm and Trump derangement syndrome and MSNBC to watch that video and say something like that. But that's why I mean it when I say this wishing death upon the president and his cabinet, seeking to hurt people who you disagree with politically, you know, assassinate Charlie Kirk, assault independent journalists who you think aren't on your side politically. It is absolutely become a mainstream position of the Democratic Party. And I think that's very evident by the manifesto that this would-be assassin had sent out to friends and family right before he went in and did what he did. So 31-year-old Cole Allen, not a surprise here, is a teacher from Torrance, California. Does that surprise anyone? Think of the teachers who were celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination, the teacher in Chicago who was, you know, making a handgun pointed at her neck. He'd been to a No Kings rally in the past. He was a donor to Kamala Harris. And he wrote this very, it's almost, I mean, because again, people have tried to kill presidents before. And oftentimes they are literally insane. And it's for some weird motivation that they've manufactured in their mind. This guy's manifesto reads like something I could turn on MSNBC and watch a talking head say. He said, I'm no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. How often? Go out there. How many mainstream Democrats do you hear characterize the president of the United States in that way? How many times do you see him referred to as a pedophile, absent any evidence whatsoever, on social media and in Democratic circles? And I mentioned, you know, being at No Kings rallies, how common it was. I remarked after the last one I covered in Seattle, how common it was for individuals marching through downtown Seattle to be holding signs depicting the president dying in some way. Hanging, bleeding from his eyes, X's for eyes. Things calling him a tyrant, a pedophile, a rapist. This guy's manifesto is a mainstream Democrat talking point. That is a terrifying place to be as a country, and I don't know how we escape from that. And it's not just, you know, with President Trump, although, you know, that seems to be their favorite person to want to kill or see dead. And as if, I mean, Hassan Piker, who's being very mainstreamed by Democrats, who's not being condemned. He's wished death explicitly on Republicans. He's supported violence against Republicans and conservatives. So they don't get to, you know, put out a nicely worded post and say, oh, I'm glad everyone's okay and no one was hurt. And then also platform people like Hassan Piker. Also say nothing when conservatives are attacked while covering anti-ICE protests. Also say nothing or participate in No Kings marches where people are holding up signs that show the president with his head in a guillotine. You don't get to distance yourself from it when you keep that kind of closeness with that kind of political rhetoric and violence. And it's time to just believe them when they say who they are and what they want to do. I mean, again, the guy who, with no cover on his face whatsoever, marching through downtown Seattle, a camera in his face, was more than willing to say that if he saw Stephen Miller, he would kill him. And to the best of my knowledge, nothing's ever happened to him. That's how brazen it is. And then they go on the internet and they're backed up in those sentiments with people saying, oh, I wish he hadn't missed. There were reporters in Seattle, granted, a reporter for The Stranger, who after President Trump was almost killed in Butler, Pennsylvania, said, make aiming great again. So yes, it is a mainstream position of the Democratic Party at this point that it is okay to harm people physically or to assassinate people who you disagree with politically. That is the state of the party. So for all the hand, oh, you know, any shortcomings Trump might have, oh, he's kind of mean sometimes. Oh, he went to war with Iran. Gas prices are really high. None of that comes even close to a political party that wishes death on its opponents. And that same political party wants to talk about, oh, our democracy is in peril. Donald Trump's going to ruin our democracy. Well, they want to literally kill a duly elected president of the United States. And this all folds into a topic I talk about all the time on this show, which is political violence from the left, widespread political violence from the left at riots. I mean, every week in the United States of America, hordes of left-wing extremists go around the country and target, attack, assault people who they perceive as their political enemies. Every week in the United States of America. And if that were reversed, and you had hordes of right-wing extremists who would go around the country assaulting journalists, assaulting police officers and federal agents, doxing federal agents, how long do you think that would last? The media, it's a national emergency. Just a couple examples. And again, this goes back for so long. Almost every independent journalist I know has been assaulted in the field. Savannah Hernandez, who was assaulted, as you know, in Minneapolis outside an ICE facility.
Stop touching me!
Cam Higby, who was beaten over the head outside an ICE, anti-ICE protest in Seattle.
Let him go, no!
Let him go!
I mean, me, who I've been attacked multiple times, including outside an ICE facility last year.
You fascist! You fascist! You fascist! You fascist! You fascist! You never have!
Racist!
And very, very unlikely, whenever those things happen, that people are charged. And the media covering it? Of course not. The media doesn't cover those things. And again, just picture that. Picture that. Can you play the Savannah video again? Because I think just how small she is and how she's being pushed around by men is so alarming and should be so alarming to anyone. Imagine if that was a CNN reporter and the mob were right wing. Imagine if that were a CNN reporter and the mob were right wing. Front page news. The person would have already been charged. Not even a question. This happens all the time. Again, and that's just a few examples. My friend Katie Davis Court has been assaulted multiple times out in the field by left-wing extremists. The vile vitriol from these people that lives in their heart and their heads. And then political so-called leaders, where these things happen, which are usually in very deep blue jurisdictions, they don't even say anything. They don't even bother to even offer a platitude of, oh, I'm sure glad Brandy's okay. Oh, I'm sure glad Savannah's okay. Hennepin County in Minneapolis hasn't even said anything about what happened to Savannah, let alone charge someone. We had Savannah Hernandez on Sundays with Subscribers yesterday and talked about the fact that this has been going on for so long, it feels like there's never going to be anything done about it. What do you think it will take to make a meaningful dent in this sort of brazen left-wing political violence in America?
Brandy, what needs to happen is the federal government needs to start rounding up these protesters that are committing crime on federal property and throwing them in jail for as long as possible and hitting them with federal felonies. I mean, Like, look, if we were living in a sane society, we wouldn't even need to be doing this or discussing this, but we don't. And these people have been allowed to commit, quite frankly, domestic terrorism on our soil for far too long. This isn't like this was a one-off situation with me. No, I mean, let's go all the way back to Andy Ngo. Let's, you know, look at the country before Andy Ngo even, but he should have been the catalyst. I mean, the fact that he was attacked not once, but twice, and then you have multiple other journalists who have experienced the exact same thing. I mean, we need to really lay down the law and highlight how we're a country of law and order. And again, regarding the current ongoing federal investigation, I do hope that it's swift and that the Ostroushko family is made an example of, so these left-wing protesters understand that it doesn't matter if you are in a left-wing jurisdiction. You cannot attack people, whether they're on the left or the right. You cannot impede on other people's rights. You cannot assault whoever you want.
But you can. Right now you can. If you're on the left in Seattle, in Portland, in LA, in Minneapolis, they have been taught that they can assault whoever they want. Well, as long as the person they're assaulting is a conservative, you won't have leaders say anything about it. On camera, what happened to Savannah? Clearly documented for all to see. No charges yet. With my case down in Tukwila, it took 8 months for them to charge an individual. And I guess she wants to go to trial and that's going to happen, but jury nullification is a very real thing. You think it takes one of these insane liberals on a jury to say, no, she deserved it. She's conservative. She supports Donald Trump. And whenever I criticize, you know, Democrats for becoming the party of unhinged violence and violent rhetoric, what do people bring up? Oh, January 6th. Oh, okay. January 6th. Or one of the responses I got yesterday was Melissa Hortman. One of the lawmakers who was assassinated in Minneapolis. Oh, you didn't say anything about that? I'm like, you could have just Googled it quick. Because if there's one thing I've been morally consistent on, it's political violence. You will always find an example of me condemning political violence, whether it's perpetrated by the left or the right, but it happens much more on the left. And when it does happen on the right, oh my gosh, the media's all over it. That's the problem. Have there been individual instances of right-wing violence? Of course. But as I said, you do not have hordes of right-wing extremists on a regular basis going around the country mobbing people and assaulting people. You don't have it. It's never happened in my lifetime. And you do not have, when Melissa Hortman was murdered in Minnesota, did you have conservatives coming out and saying, oh, she deserved it? No. Oh, wish they'd killed more. No. But it is a mainstream opinion on the left that, oh, I wish they'd gotten Donald Trump this time. Outside holding signs, kill them all. Or online spreading crazy conspiracies that Trump staged it for whatever reason. So we have a serious problem, and I don't even really know where to go from here. I foresee in the next 5 years there being a lot of political flight from one state to another. I mean, that's already happening, but I think it's going to ramp up. I don't believe that in 5 years we're going to have swing states anymore. I think they will all either be solid red or solid blue. I don't know if that's a good thing for our country. And then I think a lot about, sorry, I'm having kind of a meltdown about this today, because I don't see an end to it. And I only see it getting worse. And you just want to take these people, especially the ones you know, and you just want to shake them and be like, wake up, snap out of it, snap out of it. I mean, if President Trump was assassinated, God forbid, in any sane period in time, it would bring the country together. But not even a horrible thing like that or something like 9/11 would bring the country together anymore. And the internet's a big part of that, just rank with bots from other countries pitting us against each other and conspiracy theories and all of these things. But it begins and ends, and I'll say this every time, it begins and ends with the press. The state of our country is the fault of the press. And I hate to say it, because I used to hate when President Trump said it, but they have, many of them, become the enemies of the American people. And this is a profession that I wanted to be part of since I was in the sixth grade, and that I loved being part of when I was on TV news. And I thought I was doing something important. And then I realized what the press had become. And these politicians will do what politicians do. unhinged people on the internet with anonymity will do what they want to do and say what they want to say. But the way that the media covers these things dictates how we move forward as a country. I turned on, what is it now? It's MSNBC, but it's called what, MS Now or something? I turned it on and I was like right at the beginning of a newscast. I think it was the day after, or maybe this the night of the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And the host was saying, you know, President Trump calls for unity. But of course, the question is, the biggest question is, will he be able to follow his own advice? And it's like, okay, somebody just tried to kill the man. And yes, the president isn't a very unifying figure on his own. He's not. But he's not standing up there wishing death on people. And so the media is responsible for the state of the country. So the media is beyond fixing. It has to collapse and be rebuilt, or else nothing is going to change. If you want to watch that full interview, by the way, with Savannah Hernandez from yesterday's episode of Sundays with Subscribers, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. I really enjoyed chatting with her, and it just, you feel so bad. She and I also talked a lot about, and I hate, don't be all sappy and like victim mentality, but there's a real mental health component when you're attacked in the way that she was attacked. After I was attacked in 2020 at CHOP, the autonomous protest zone in Seattle, and I told her this, like, I had a panic attack the very first time I went out in the field after that. And I've never been the same, like, mentally. Maybe it's obvious. I've never been the same mentally. And it's a real thing. You have the physical injuries, but then you have the trauma that endures, especially when you get no justice for it. So anyway, I have a lot to catch up on because we were gone last week and there were some major stories that broke besides another assassination attempt on the president. But we'll revisit some of the reaction to what happened at that dinner coming up in National. First, I just got a nice email this morning from my friends at First Mark Insurance. And they were like, oh, I hope your vacation was great. Who's insurance company? I mean, I love First Mark so much. They really do feel like family. And the best news is they saved Mike and I thousands of dollars on our renewals this year. We were a little scared about where our insurance premiums would be at, but they saved us money and we didn't have to do anything. They just go back proactively, check where everything's at. And they said, hey, here we got your renewal notices and we're saving money. We're like, gosh, we love FirstMark. So that's why I use FirstMark for my home, FirstMark for my business. Nicole's also insured through our friends at FirstMark. And we have so many undivided viewers and listeners who have heard me talking about FirstMark for years, finally took the FirstMark challenge, came back and said, Brandy, why didn't I do that sooner? Saving hundreds of dollars a month, thousands of dollars a year. It really is a no-brainer. It costs nothing to take the First Mark challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right, major story that broke while we're gone. Documents that prove that the Office of Attorney General in Washington State was colluding with Democratic lawmakers to undermine the state constitution. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter. They also have a new handy offshoot where they are tracking news specific to the income tax and debunking things. It's really cool. So check out their website. All right. This exclusive was from the Center Square. Records reveal Washington millionaires tax is meant to legalize progressive income tax. And I think we all knew that's the goal of Democrats in pushing this is going to start with a millionaire's tax so they can sell it to the populace as tax the rich, eat the rich, and then come back a couple years later and say, well, you know, now that it withstood a constitutional challenge, we're just going to have an income tax on everyone because that's what we really want. So the Center Square did a public records request for communications between legislative leaders pushing the tax and the Office of State Attorney General Nick Brown. It says the Washington Attorney General and Democratic leaders plotted how to overturn a nearly century-old decision that bans income taxes in the state, writing they want to force the state Supreme Court to reconsider its 1933 decision. Nearly 1,000 pages of public records obtained by the Center Square show. In one email, Senate Majority Leader Jamie Peterson said, I would like to force the Washington Supreme Court to reconsider its case law that considers income to be property. And he's the chief architect. So they obtained 988 pages of records. They included communication between Washington State Attorney General's office, leadership and staff, and state legislators. And it's basically Jamie Peterson. It starts with him saying to the AG's office, hey, I really want to I really want to overturn 100 years of court precedent and be able to tax income as property. And so there's emails back and forth in this between the AG's office and Jamie Peterson and Democrats, where the AG's office is basically giving advice on how to craft this particular piece of legislation to achieve their goal of allowing for an income tax in Washington state, which, as you know, our state constitution for 100 years has basically said that income is property. I mean, that's what the precedent says. So we can only have for taxes on property, it must be uniform and only at 1%. And then there was the 1933 state Supreme Court decision that said, yes, income is considered property because the state constitution says all things tangible and intangible. So yeah, I mean, if I have $100 in my wallet, whose property is it? It's my property. So it's just this insane thing for them to try to get a court to overturn all this precedent and say, it's not your property. Who knows whose property it is. But I got to say, one of the most startling emails to me, because let me say, it is common for the AG's office to give advice on laws and how laws are crafted, but they're supposed to give advice to make the laws legal. Okay? That's the advice they're supposed to give. But here's the advice from Noah Purcell. So remember Noah Purcell? He was the Solicitor General under Bob Ferguson. So one of the higher ups at the Attorney General's office under Bob Ferguson. And he became this star boy over one of his lawsuits against the Trump administration at the time. And then he went on to run for Attorney General, but dropped out of the race when Nick Brown decided to run for Attorney General. So this is an email from Noah Purcell to Senator Jamie Peterson. And he's giving all this feedback on the bill that they're putting together. This is the most egregious one. It says, last but not least, unless I missed it, I did not see an emergency clause. Without one, someone could try to subject the bill to a referendum. So this is the Attorney General's office telling Senator Peterson to put an emergency clause on the bill so voters can't run a referendum on it. This is the Attorney General's office very blatantly colluding with Democrats to try to stop you from having a say. And your right to referendum is guaranteed under the state constitution. So you have this, the office of the state's chief law enforcer, who took an oath to defend and uphold the constitutions of the United States and the state of Washington, actively trying to undermine the Constitution of the state of Washington. It's criminal. It should be enough to get them removed from office. Nick Brown had a press conference this morning about some other dumb thing he's doing, and he was asked about these allegations that his office was colluding with the Democrats to undermine the state constitution.
It is very common for AG's offices to advise their clients on the law, the status of cases, analyzing prior Supreme Court decisions. It is something that we do on a regular basis. It is something that all of my predecessors have done. So yes, I think it's pretty common and appropriate.
Doesn't make it right. Oh, we do it all the time. All the time? What other bills have you sought to help Democrats craft to undermine the state constitution? Because I'd like a list if you're doing it all the time and it's pretty common. I mean, I don't doubt that. But it's supposed to be the job of the AG's office to make sure the bills are legally sound, to make sure the bills follow the state constitution, the federal constitution. But think of how many bills they push through that don't. I mean, most bills that they pass on 2A issues, they just helped him pass a bill that dramatically expands the power of the Attorney General's office to essentially issue these civil investigative demands where Nick Brown can say, I think that Brandi Cruz is violating the Constitution. So I'd like to basically serve a search warrant on her that a judge never has to sign off on. It's insane. They're violating the Constitution on a monthly basis down in Olympia during the session. And this just proves, I think, what we all expected, which is the AG's office. And this is one of the things that's so weird to me about the AG's office. This is an independently elected official. Who do they actually work for? Because as an independently elected official, they should work for the people of Washington state. But they're also the attorney for the state of Washington, for state lawmakers, for the governor's office. You can't do both. You can't work for the state legislature and advise them and also work for the people of Washington state, especially when the state legislature is working against us. So the Office of Attorney General to me makes no sense. If you're going to work and be a mouthpiece and a lawyer for the politicians and for the governor, then you should be appointed. Then the governor should just pick the attorney general. Because de facto, that seems to be what the position is. It's insane. We're going to have some more follow-ups on this coming up tomorrow. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. Another huge story that broke while we were gone. Democrats now want to defund the failed King County Regional Homelessness Authority? Why now? Why now? I'm suspicious. We'll have that coming up next. First, could the future of AI impact your retirement? Are you concerned about, you know, the continued conflict in Iran and what's going on there? I think all valid questions. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital, and he can do a free Know Your Risk portfolio review. And Bulwark Capital is always trying to manage risk. So during your one-on-one portfolio review, look at it as a second opinion. He'll talk about the real fundamentals of value investing, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower your risk, lower your cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. While you're there, subscribe to Zach's Daily Market Recap. Again, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Another thing that happened while we're gone, Zach Abraham gets audited by the state of Washington. He gets audited by the state of Washington a mere days after being on this show talking about how he would take his business out of state if they passed the millionaire's tax. And then Fox News picked it up, so his name was out there. Gets a letter from the state of Washington, certified letter. We're auditing you. He'd never been audited by them before. You guys, they're criminals. They're criminals. Is that not insane? And he's like, well, they just made me angrier. And he's like, now I'm going to spend even more money trying to defeat the income tax. So they made the wrong guy upset. But I can't help but feel like it's my fault. Sorry, Zach. I do apologize. All right, let's get to our segment. Unbelievable. I'm really frustrated with this. I support it, but I'm frustrated with it. Because since the beginning of this concept, known as the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, I've been critical of it. And every year since, it was this idea that, hey, as cities, we can't solve the homelessness crisis. On islands, we've got to work together as a region to deal with the homelessness crisis, because homelessness doesn't just stop at a city line. In all the cities, from their budgets, we're going to put money in to run the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. So it's been up and running for several years now. And what's happened? Well, homelessness has gotten worse. And they've had all these problems along the way. They lost their first CEO because it was being run like a train wreck. And they were spending hundreds of millions of dollars, but homelessness was getting worse. So people with a brain have been saying for years, like, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority has to go. It's not working. What's the point in it? And now there's this audit out, this from MyNorthwest.com. $13 million in public funds are unaccounted for in the King County Homelessness Agency, known as the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. And at first I see that, well, first of all, I see that and I'm like, yeah, no shoot. Of course it is. And $13 million, that's the tip of the iceberg. You think it's only $13 million that's missing or has been misspent or misused? So there's a lot of things about this, as I'll discuss, that just seem suspicious to me. So the article goes on to say, there was an investigation which reviewed the agency's operations from 2001 through 2025. They found millions of dollars unaccounted for and a negative cash position of nearly $45 million. Let's see. Meanwhile, King County Regional Homeless Authority offered its own breakdown, pointing to $8 million in unreconciled receivables, $6.4 million in budget reclassifications, and $1.3 million in reporting discrepancies. Yeah. Instead of missing money, it's unreconciled receivables, reporting discrepancies, budget reclassifications. It says the agency said no evidence of fraud or misuse of funds was identified. And look, let me tell you, that would be even worse. I almost think that's a worse thing for them to admit to or to claim. Oh, no, there's no fraud or waste. We just have made homelessness worse. You know, if you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars and some of it's being funneled to people and being pocketed or wasted or stolen, that's almost better to me than you spending all of that on homelessness only to make homelessness worse. So here's what's weird about this. These problems with the King County Regional Homelessness Authority have been well documented and well known. And I mean, the bloated salaries of the people who work for the Homelessness Authority. And now all of a sudden, because of $13 million in money that you can't quite account for, now Democrats are like, let's dismantle it. Let's do away with it. Saying what Republicans and conservatives and reasonable people in the middle have been saying about this entity for years. And I'm just suspicious, I guess, of the timing over it. Like, really? But Seattle City Councilwoman Maritza Rivera says, look, it's not just about the $13 million missing dollars. It's about collectively the failures of the agency over time.
This latest forensic evaluation is just the last straw. The evaluation shows a pattern of mismanagement of funds that can no longer be tolerated. It is time to find a different way to make this very important work happen. Councilmember Dombowski and I will be issuing companion resolutions to officially call for the dissolution of KCRHA and a plan for the future that includes all of us, the city and the county, continuing to work together to find a better way.
Yeah, so she wants to dissolve it, which, again, I agree. And I actually am going to give her, I'm going to let her off the hook on this because she's a fairly new Seattle City Councilwoman. But she mentioned their King County Councilman, Rob Dombowski. He's been in office for more than a decade. And all of a sudden he's at this press conference, like this very bloviated, like, oh, this is horrible. I've never heard him speak like this in my life. Here he is.
You know, they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the King County Regional Homelessness Authority was set up 6 years ago with the best of intentions to tackle our region's most pressing problem, and that is thousands of unsheltered people on the streets all over King County night after night, with hundreds every year dying. We wanted at the time to bring a regional approach to this problem, but the tool that was set up has been given more chances than it deserves at this point. And it has failed again and again and again, not only on the finances, not only with the respect to the stewardship of public dollars, but with respect to its core mission, to shelter people.
I don't disagree, but where was the criticality from you as a council member for the last 6 years? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is the road to hell. I've just never seen him speak like that about this authority. That's why I'm like, why now? What are they trying to? And I'll give you my theory coming up in a second. But he said the homelessness authority has broken many promises to the community.
Hundreds of millions of dollars put into it and a series of audits in 2023 where the homelessness authority, responding to a state audit, a county oversight audit, and federal review, said that they were going to get their house in order. They have not done it. We have advanced them tens of millions of dollars. They have overspent their budget. They cannot account for the dollars on a material basis. And our problem and challenge with respect to unsheltered people on the streets has not gotten better. It has gotten worse.
Correct. We've been saying that. And I'm called a NIMBY. You hate the homeless. You're a horrible human being. He's saying everything we've been saying for the last 6 years. Perfectly acceptable for him to say it. Now he's being cheered on. And like the Seattle Times did an article on it. All these people who knew the King County Regional Homelessness Authority was a failure. Here's my theory, okay? And I don't know for the Seattle City Councilwoman. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because I think she's said a lot of things that need to be said and she's fairly new, and so I'm not going to undermine. I tend to believe she really is like, no, this thing's a mess and we need to get rid of it. But for Dombowski and some of these other Democrats now saying, dismantle it, dissolve it, I think that they want to stop anyone from digging deeper. I think they know there's been a lot of people who've pocketed funds, who've gotten rich off the King County Regional Homelessness Authority and our homeless crisis and people dying on the streets. And now they know that investigating a fraud is sort of in vogue. And so they're trying to protect their friends and their cronies, and they don't want people to dig deeper. So they're like, let's just end it. Let's dissolve it. And let's hope everyone just moves on. That's what I believe is happening here. Look, any way the authority is dissolved is great by in my book. But let's not act like there isn't some other sort of motivation here. So is any of what's happening or has happened criminal? Here's what Councilman Dombowski says.
I've seen nothing yet in the financial reviews that would indicate there's been any criminal conduct. I can't say that there hasn't been. One of the things that was very concerning, and I know Councilmember Rivera and I talked about this, was the state of the record keeping is apparently so bad that they, while they didn't find fraud, they couldn't assure us that there wasn't any fraud.
Yeah, and that sounds very familiar. That same thing was happening with child care payments to the state of Washington and the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, where the auditor, an elected Democrat, said that the agency was unauditable, was impossible to audit because record keeping was so bad. So yeah, I mean, they made it impossible to actually prosecute people for fraud by making sure there was no trail of evidence. So Katie Wilson, who's the socialist mayor of Seattle, she says all options are on the table following the forensic investigation. She says addressing homelessness is my highest priority, and I have serious concerns about King County Regional Homelessness Authority's management of city funds. We need to take swift action to protect public dollars. All options are on the table, and we know that the authority has done an immediate hiring freeze, which makes sense if they're about to get shut down, not to offer anybody a brand new six-figure job. And so I think they're trying to save themselves, because there are dozens of people with high mid six-figure salaries on the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. And they're probably panicking right now. And all the agencies that get all this money in the homeless industrial complex. So they're trying to save face. But the only reasonable thing to do, and now that Democrats have finally seen the light, is to close the authority down. Because I actually think doing nothing would be better than doing what they're doing now. Because what they're doing now is keeping people in homelessness to keep money coming in. And so if there wasn't all this money coming in, I think there would be a much bigger motivation to actually help people. And frankly, I don't believe the government should have any role in dealing with homelessness. I believe the private sector and nonprofits should take over that work entirely. And the only role I think the government should have is like arresting drug dealers and people out in the open using drugs and putting them in jail. And that would do more to get people off the streets, having them sober up in jail than anything that the state of Washington is doing. It's just outrageous. All right, let's get to it. Just let's lighten the mood a little bit. Second edition of Unbelievable. Okay, someone sent this to me. Coming up on April 30th, 1, 2, 3, which is this Thursday, the UW women's soccer team has a match against Crossfire under 14 boys. Ah, yes. The UW women's soccer team is going to be playing preteen boys. Why would that be? Is it because they believe that physically speaking and skill-wise, preteen boys are about on the same level as girls? Could that back up the argument, of course, that we've been making, that boys have a biological advantage against girls and therefore should not be able to compete against girls? It's just so obvious. And the University of Washington is all about radical gender ideology. You're sending your women's soccer team to play preteen boys under the age of 14, like 12 and 13 year olds. And you still want to act like boys don't have a biological advantage? Let's do the opposite. Let's do the opposite. Let's have the UW men's soccer team play preteen girls. Nicole, what do you think? Also, you ready for it? Come on, guys.
Oh, got it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nicole. Happy birthday to you.
Is that an excuse for not singing this time?
You don't have to sing for yourself. Happy birthday, Nicole.
Thank you.
Would you go watch a match of the UW men's team playing preteen girls?
Actually, because of the state of the state, yes, I would love to see that.
Oh my gosh, and just destroy them.
No offenses. I know some really good 12-year-old girl soccer players.
Yes, but you're going to get crushed.
Don't be silly.
It's like this. None of you need to see evidence that boys have a biological advantage for girls, but it's like, yeah, you're having your women's soccer team play 12-year-olds. Like, that is,
I can't believe
the
they
funniest
do it.
Thing
it's
I've
weird.
Ever seen. Well, I don't know if I should put them on blast, but one of our friends texted me this morning and said that at one point the Storm was looking for high school boys to come and be like practice partners So again, you're admitting it. And you even have some of those Storm players, right, mm-hmm. who support boys playing against girls. It's like you'd be crushed. Just wild.
It's so stupid.
Here's fun. I asked people in our daily subscriber show poll. You're probably like, Brandy, why such a stupid poll today? Because I knew it was going to be a heavy show. So I was like, let's do something fun. Let's place your bets now. Call me Kalshi, is that it? Mm-hmm. Who do you think will win? The UW women or the preteen boys? Now, I cheated a little bit because apparently they did a match like this in 2024 and it was tied 1-1. They tied 1-1. So what do you think, Nicole? Let's place our bets. Who do you think will win?
I mean, I'm going to go with the women.
Really? This time, okay.
But I think the boys could put up a good... It's going to be like tied or maybe women because they're pretty... I've been hearing a lot about them. So this might be like an extra special team, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's just for other reasons. But yeah.
Maybe our most divided... Evenly divided poll ever. 48% say the UW women. 52% say the preteen boys.
I do not think it'll be a blowout one way or the other.
No.
It's going to be pretty evenly matched. But there you go. What? I mean, now, I will say, and the reason I say that is Crossfire is a very good league.
It's like an elite team, right?
It's a very elite team. They are year-round. They are very serious. Mm-hmm. But yes, I do think that it's going to be a pretty tight match.
These comments are hilarious. I voted for the boys, but U14 is not preteen. They are born in calendar year 2012, so 13 to 14, depending on if they had their birthday yet. Well, it says under 14. Somebody told me U14 is under 14.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. It might be a calendar year thing,
Listen,
too.
Listen, 12, 13, 14, about the
it's
same
in
thing.
Range, yeah.
Let's see. It says Brandon and Becca praying the women win, but if they don't, it will be good marketing for the initiative.
Right? Seriously.
Exactly. Aaron, if you've ever seen preteen boys, they haven't figured out what to do with their bodies yet. Whereas the UW women are mature, trained athletes.
They have been at this league for years.
Joe Schmo says, to be honest, boys of any age can get distracted by boobs. Oh my gosh. Yeah, there was a couple comments like that. Sarah said, I just told my husband about your show today. He said that's the reason UW is playing against U14 is because the national women's soccer team once lost against a U15 boys team. She says, I verified that this happened in 2017. So she's saying that the UW or the national women's soccer team once lost to a group of 15-year-old boys. So UW's like, okay, let's take it down a notch. Let's go to 14. All right, we'll see. And I'm not trying to make fun of the girls. I'm just saying you're not boys. And boys have a physical advantage over you, even if the boys are 14 years old. That's just the truth. Now, skills advantage? Probably not. I think the boys are probably still coming into their own, but sometimes the physicality you just cannot compete against. All right, we'll get to some national news coming up next. First, a lot of people trying to flee the state. I don't blame you, although I wish you would stay just a couple more years and fight and see what happens in Washington post-Donald Trump presidency and if that rights the ship a little bit. But if you want to leave, at least reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com to sell your home. He was telling us, we were at an event with him the other day, that he's getting a lot of people who are trying to leave the state, and he gets great reviews. Kyle R. said, we had a great experience selling our house with Wes and team, great communication, all the resources, tough negotiator, valuable advisor. He made our house shine and helped us get a tough property sold. We would 100% do business with him again. So if you're thinking about selling your home, go to sellwithwes.com and you can take a look at some of the recent listings that Wes and his team have sold. See how he performs for clients, which I always think is just a good idea and a good starting point. So again, sellwithwes.com. If you'd like to go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes, check out his website, reach out to him for a free market analysis. He can kind of give you a lay of the land because there's a lot of properties coming online so that can impact how much you can get for your property, how much time it might take to sell, but he'll come up with a good plan and work together with you to get it sold. All right, we'll talk a little bit about national. Obviously, you know, the attempted assassination of President Trump and members of his cabinet. Really interesting that the would-be assassin. I mean, he like wrote out, here's the plan, here's who my targets are, here's who they're not, like the guests aren't my target, the hotel staff aren't my targets. He said it was the Trump administration from highest ranking to lowest ranking, but then he said, except Kash Patel. Is it because Kash Patel's brown?
I don't know.
And he's a brown man. He's like, I'll only want to kill the white ones. It's just, I don't pretend to get in his head, but it was super weird. So responses from Washington State's congressional delegation. I will say the one that got the most play was Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, Democrat, just said, please stop trying to murder the president. And I could not agree anymore. A lot of platitudes like Senator Cantwell, I'm relieved by the reporting that those attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner tonight are safe and thankful to law enforcement and first responders. And here's the stuff that bothers me the most. Patty Murray, there's no justification for political violence ever. It's really that simple. Well, why don't you speak out about it?
It took her two days to say that.
And why don't you speak out about the widespread political violence that happens in your own state? And I'm not saying you got to pick up the phone and call me when Antifa beats me to the ground, but there's plenty of examples of left-wing political violence in your state. And then Jay Inslee, I don't think this one's in here, but he got pretty panned for his comment because he was talking, he again brought up January 6th. It's like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Will you just absolutely go away? So yeah, I mean, I think some of these people, you know, like Adam Smith. Like, I think Adam Smith is mostly reasonable and he actually doesn't want the president to be murdered. But man, there's some of these Democrats who I just have a hard time believing that they wouldn't privately celebrate, like Bob Ferguson. Thankful for the quick actions of law enforcement, keeping everyone safe at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Violence has no place in our democracy. Interesting, Bob. Why don't you say anything? Remember when they took over six square blocks of Seattle and you were the state's chief law enforcer and you said literally nothing for an entire month as it happened? Weird. All right. President Trump and everybody in their tuxedos and stuff went to the White House, had a press conference. And I thought that was good because you want to show, and I think it's similar to him being like, fight, fight, fight. You want to show that these actions don't deter you and they don't scare you. So he talked a little bit to the press pool, which we're all in their gowns and tuxedos as well.
Nobody told me this was such a dangerous profession. If Marco would have told me, maybe I wouldn't have run. Maybe I would have said, I'll take a pass. No, it's a dangerous profession, but I don't view it that way. Look, I'm here to do a job. It's part of the job. It is a dangerous, I can't imagine that there's any profession that's more dangerous. But I love the country, and I'm very proud. I'm very proud of the job we've done. You see what's happened. We have a great country. We've got, I think, the most successful, the hottest country anywhere in the world. This happened over a period of just a year, and we're going to do great things. But with that come risks. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and Peter Ducey had asked him, you know, about why do you think this keeps happening to you? And he said it's because we're doing a lot, and I agree with that. If you have a president of no consequence, fewer people are trying to kill him. I think President Trump is getting stuff done. And I do believe that that puts him in the crosshairs. That and, you know, the media calls him a fascist all the time and normalizes violent rhetoric. And so it just gets these people spun up to believe they're really doing the right thing. They're doing, I mean, look at the celebrations on the left of the guy who killed the healthcare CEO. It was like, oh, that was a just execution. That's how their minds think. I think conservatives value life much more. And even if it's someone they disagree with, they don't want to see a life taken. Wild. One other thing I want to talk about this is the security. The ballroom. This is like exhibit A, why you need the ballroom, right? Because you have a ballroom that's on the campus of the White House. You're not going to be able to have a guy run in there and start opening fire. Here's this video that was released of him charging security. And I got to say, I'm surprised that, because it was like an outer layer of security, but it wasn't too far to the room, the actual ballroom. And I guess I'm just surprised that there's not a harder, and why wasn't he shot? I also don't get that. How was he not shot with all these Secret Service agents and police? Because he fired at them and hit that one agent, Center Mass. That's odd to me. Maybe I don't know, maybe they withheld fire because of crossfire concerns or whatever it is, but I thought it was weird that honestly he's not dead. So yeah, I mean, you can only secure an outside facility so much. And so especially a hotel, he was a guest. He stayed at the hotel so he could carry this out. So you have guests who are allowed in the building. And I mean, he brought multiple guns in. So clearly a security issue. And look, the bravery, I watch that and I see there was one of the Secret Service agents, plainclothes in a tux, literally standing in front of the president on stage. And so their bravery, I'm not going to question their bravery, but there's only so much you can do when you can't control where it's at. So build the ballroom. And you know what? The White House Correspondents Association, for all the members of the media who are hand-wringing over the big, beautiful ballroom, you don't think that they'd be more than happy to have their correspondents' dinner there? Of course they would. Give me a break. Mm-hmm. All right. Nicole, do you have this cut from Bob Ferguson? Mm-hmm. So remember Bob Ferguson, Governor Bob Ferguson of Washington, was asked the whole session what the most important thing he did the whole session was. Here's what he said.
What was your personal favorite bill that passed the legislature this session?
Oh, man. The bill on banning masks for law enforcement, including ICE.
I laughed at it at the time because I'm like, really, that was the best thing you did the whole session? Because we knew at the time, supremacy clause, it's you're not going to be able to enforce it. So you ban ICE agents from wearing masks, but you can't control if ICE agents, if federal agents wear masks, even in your jurisdiction. It was so obvious. And even the Ninth Circuit thinks it's obvious. So California passed a similar law. The Ninth Circuit just said you can't enforce it. So it says the panel granted the United States motion for an injunction pending appeal. And they said that the United States is likely to succeed on the merits of its claim that the No Vigilantes Act, which is what California called its act, violates the Supremacy Clause because it attempts to directly regulate the United States in its performance of governmental functions. That's the Ninth Circuit, which is no friend of conservatives. They're like, yeah, it's obvious. You can't do this. So the bill that Bob Ferguson is most proud of, it's not even going to be a thing. It's pure performative politics, yet he's most proud of pure performative politics. It's so sad. Think of what people who are smart, who aren't just there for political considerations, could get done in a government. I mean, because it's just wild, the insanity that these guys pursue. All right, we'll get to a lot of happy birthday comments for you, Nicole. Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to take her out for lunch after this, so I'll use these wonderful super chats to buy Nicole birthday lunch. We'll get to our comments coming up next. First, summer is right around the corner, and so Valentine Roofing, their schedule is filling up fast. So I'm going to give you three reasons, okay? Let's see. Yeah, I think I could do three. Why you should pick up the phone and call Valentine today. So first, there's still time to beat the summer rush and get your roof started if you book now in as little as 3 weeks. So if you wait too long, it might take longer. And then when the nice weather hits, you'll be enjoying your backyard. You won't be worrying about your roof or having people up on your roof replacing it. That's nice. And then this is the big one. With the increased cost of crude oil, material prices go up and shipping prices go up. So lock in your price right now before the market absorbs all those price increases because it hasn't quite hit the roofing industry yet. So if you lock in your price now, you won't have to worry about it. So call 206-ROOFING today. 206-ROOFING today. You'll get a clear estimate that you can trust. And when you see that red Valentine van in your driveway, you know you're in good hands. 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING to lock in your price. Get your estimate today. All right. Before we get to comments, someone, what is this, Nicole?
So that's the team that lost. That was a post by the
oh my gosh so the USA wow so the US team that lost to the 15-year-old boys included Megan Rapinoe, who but, thinks that boys should be able to play against
they
girls.
Said they weren't playing at their, you know, highest capacity.
I'm sure they weren't
Everybody wants to lose to boys.
Did you see that she's getting a divorce or are they splitting up? I don't know if they're married.
They're splitting.
Yeah. And the Seattle Times ran this headline like, why does it hurt so much?
I think they were still engaged. What? So, yeah. No, they weren't married yet.
Doesn't hurt. And yeah. As I said on social media, TDS can't survive. Nothing can survive TDS.
Because you're so miserable.
And I don't want to see anybody split up. That's not fun. But, you know, you do seem like a miserable person all the time. So misery... Mm-hmm. Invites, what is it? Misery loves company. And you're just making everyone around you miserable.
But nobody wants to be it. So if you make a decision, you don't want to be miserable.
Yeah.
You can't be surrounded by misery all the time. Crazy.
How was your vacation?
It was good. Great.
Yeah. We went, both went to sunny destinations. Nicole, of course, because whenever she's out, she's doing all sorts of things.
I did a lot of stuff.
And I'm sleeping on lawn chairs, literally.
We shared photos on the Sunday show. But yeah, I went horseback riding on the beach. I saw a sloth and hiked waterfalls and swam in the pools. And then, yeah.
I swam in the pools. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was pools and waterfalls.
Oh, okay. No. Swimming in a pool is the most physical exertion I did while on vacation.
That's good, too.
Except I got sick one of the days. And so I threw up, and that was a lot of physical exertion. We were at a beautiful restaurant in Cabo. And end of the meal, had just had this fantastic, kind of spendy meal. And I was like, I don't feel good. And nobody immediately else? Threw up at the restaurant.
Oh, no.
It was horrible. It was instant.
You think it was food?
No, I don't think food can hit you that fast. Probably just sun and drinks and all that stuff. And just, yeah. A lot of super chats for your birthday, Nicole. I'll let you read all of them. But don't give a chuck. Matthew Cook, Matt Gilbert, Brother Abe, Old Sub Sailor, Big Princess. So nice. Thank you for your super chats for Nicole's birthday. How old are you today?
Oh, well,
you don't have to say.
I don't care. 45.
45. But look at how young she looks. If you put us side by side, I think people would say I'm older. If they did not know,
your skin is just so good. I don't think look it's based on skin and stuff. It's probably just based on classiness. You're just classy.
I dress like a college chick. You have flawless skin. It's remarkable. Anti-aging, something's working out well for you. Let's see. On the Trump assassination attempt, Shannon, our country is under spiritual attack. It really, really is bad. It just is so depressing. Mm-hmm. Focus says, what has happened is that the DNC platform has grown so weak that they've allowed their agenda to be taken over by the far left. Yeah,
it's true. I played softball this weekend and there was discussion about it being staged, like you said. People thinking that it was staged because he has low ratings. So, you know, let's stage a possible shooting for a low rating.
Yeah, as if they don't talk about shooting him all the time. They're outside saying, kill him.
So unbelievable that a teacher from California would want to kill him.
Right. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Super unbelievable.
That never happens. Nobody has ever talked about killing the president. It's just ridiculous.
It's just silly.
Sean C. Anski. I was in a restaurant on Sunday and saw a copy of the spokesman review. The attempted assassination of the president was on page 3. Our thought is that either means that an attempt on the life of Trump is either old news or they know their readers really don't care. The spokesman review is trash.
There was some really weird headlines that came, like Cuomo at the beginning said that popping sound.
Yeah.
Cleared the ballroom or whatever, but popping sound. I mean, we knew pretty quickly that it was just shooting.
Yeah. Let's see. And I love Trump, how everybody's freaking out. And he's like, there's this great meme where he's looking at Melania and Melania's like, and he's like, first time, because he's just cool as a cucumber.
Well, and the reason I think they did that press conference is because he was so adamant about continuing the program, but the security wouldn't allow it. So he's like, I at least want to do a press conference.
On left-wing violence becoming a national epidemic, Little Miss J with a super chat. Brandy, I'm getting worried for you, your family, and even Nicole. Things are gearing up, and I'm getting a bad feeling. Please stay safe. And she went on to say, you've changed loads since CHOP. I remember that time well. I remember when you were claiming that you were pregnant so they wouldn't attack you. Yes, I have followed you for a long time. Yes, that's when I realized, like, these people are evil. So at CHOP, when my crew is getting mobbed, you feel a sense of responsibility. TV news is much different because you have a crew with you. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about your safety. It's about everyone's safety. And when your presence is putting other people in jeopardy, I think it just is a different thing.
Right.
And so you hear me on the tape as they're mobbing us saying, I'm pregnant. Like, you're doing this to a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. They didn't care.
No.
I wasn't pregnant. I was hoping that would be enough because a lot of the people attacking me were women. I thought that would be enough for them to say, okay, like, let her walk away. But even that wasn't. Mm-hmm. Old Sub Sailor, the left does what it does because they are allowed to. The harmful rhetoric and violence are shielded. There is no longer the strong arm of the law. Ronald Spins, I love Undivided. Brandy, triple your security team. I was at an event in Shelton over the weekend. I spoke to the Mason County Republican Party, and Shelton is, like, you know, pretty small town. But I just, because if I say I'm going to be somewhere, I don't always have security, right? But if it's something where I have a feeling that somebody's, you know, going to cause problems. But I had a nice gentleman, actually the mayor of Shelton's husband, the mayor and her husband walked me to my car because it's like, you just can't, I don't feel safe anymore anywhere.
Even Shelton. A lot of stories on Shelton being a little cuckoo.
Being a little cuckoo. Yes, 100%. Damn it, Bobby says, it's so simple to me. The more things are allowed, the worse the behavior comes, right? Give a mouse a cookie. The best book ever written really is illustrative of this moment in time. Mm-hmm. On the public record showing income tax collusion, great job by the Center Square. Tech Pew guy says, a common refrain I see is, we can't vote our way out of this. Do you think that's true? And if not, how do we fight obvious issues with Washington voting? It starts and ends with the press. Starts and ends with the press. You have to help us with this. And I'm not saying give me your money. I mean, I'm glad you guys support our show, but decide if a media outlet is dishonest, you don't consume them anymore. You don't watch them on TV. You don't click on their articles. You don't give them any sort of ability to sell ad revenue. And when they hurt bad enough, they have to reevaluate what they're doing. The Seattle Times needs to go bankrupt. So we have to take down peacefully with our resources, right? Mm-hmm. The media climate. And force them to reevaluate how they're covering stories. That's the only solution. Greg P., Jamie Peterson working with AG for crafting millionaire tax language is much like the AG crafting misleading language in our initiatives. This is manipulation and corruption. Yes. Chris Elder says, thank you for bringing this to light. Now it's on all of us to make sure our community sees it. Accountability in government matters because without it, we lose opportunity and families and communities pay the price. And that's why I was like, even though the Center Square broke that story while we were gone, I was like, we got to do it today because not all the media outlets have picked up on it.
Although a couple did. I will say, a couple. I think Fox 13 did, right? That was good.
Yeah, but it's a huge story.
It should be bigger, yes.
Everyone should be doing
and,
it.
And, you know, the way they're covering for it. Oh, no, it's just normal. Like, they are the masters of manipulation.
Yeah.
That is the thing. Because, I mean, even their reactions when they've got caught red-handed, they're like, it's just normal.
Yeah.
We always do that.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Let's see, a couple more. I Don't Give a Chuck, supporting our boop. Appreciate it. Weiss Castle, King County is probably trying to stave off all the podcaster investigations by claiming success on a few million. That's why I say, the only thing that makes sense for this sudden, aggressive call to dismantle the Homelessness Authority is they are trying to stop something else from coming to light. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Well, what are they going to replace it with? There's going to be something just as messy.
Yeah. I hate to end with this one, but I will. Moon Goddess says, please pray for my friend's sister who was hit by a truck while riding e-bike last week and is in critical condition. Glad you're back. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Yeah. I tell you what, I got one of those e-bikes. That thing goes too fast. It goes like 17 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine crashing on that?
No, fun.
It's dangerous.
Hit by a truck. Ugh.
Yeah, that's horrible.
There was that other dog that died because somebody else was hit by a truck or a vehicle this weekend too. And some of them are in critical and the dog died. And I was like, oh my gosh, people,
Absolutely crazy. All right. And then Avgeek Joe says, hey, Brandy Cruz, you're the subject of a new PDC complaint. I clicked on it. It's a PDC complaint from him. So it's probably something stupid. All right. With that, let's get to our closing sanity check. I just thought I'd try to end on kind of a positive note. And I look, I know that the president isn't always the most kumbaya sort of person. I think that he dishes out what he gets. And he gets a lot of hate and vitriol. And sometimes he turns around and he dishes it right back. So maybe he could stand to take his own advice sometimes. But here's what he said to Americans after the attempted assassination this weekend.
In light of this evening's events, I ask that all Americans recommit with their hearts and resolving our difference peacefully. We have to resolve our differences. I will say, you had Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Conservatives, Liberals, and Progressives. Those words are interchangeable, perhaps, but maybe they're not. But yet everybody in that room, big crowd, record-setting crowd, there was a record-setting group of people. And there was a tremendous amount of love and coming together. I watched, and I was very, very impressed by that.
Yeah, and look, I think to the president's point, you have this room full of people. It was the first time he'd ever gone to this dinner. You have people he's very critical of. You have people in that room who are very critical of him, oftentimes unfairly so. And they all went through this really harrowing ordeal together. And it could be a moment where the media understands, like, hey, are we contributing to the violence that's happening? Can we all, you know, their job is still to be critical of the president, but can we do it in a way that doesn't raise the temperature? But I just don't think that that's what we're going to see. I think that we're going to see the media continue to do what the media does and vilify unfairly the president. There's valid criticisms of the president. I would never tell the media to go easy on him for the sake of his safety. That's not what the president signed up for. But You know, I think when you push and allow talking heads to come on and call him a pedophile and link him to Jeffrey Epstein with no evidence that he was involved in anything untoward and call him a fascist and a Nazi and all these things, you're contributing to the environment where someone would try to run into your dinner and kill people. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. Great to see you guys. Missed you while we were on vacation, but thank you for being generous bosses and allowing us to take a much needed week off. If you'd like to sign up to support the show, go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. We would appreciate it. Although I think we're going to be running a spring promo starting later today. So maybe wait till you see that promo code. We did it last year. We had a pretty good response to it. We do it once a year. We give the masses a promo for Undivided. So,
and we didn't get to it today, but you are going to eventually this week show that video of you with Cho doing a tour around the city.
Maybe this week. Oh, did I tease it?
Well, we teased it on the Sunday show.
Okay.
But
yes, I went out with Cho and did some homelessness stuff. And it was quite entertaining, but also terrifying and depressing.
So you just have to watch every show. Because
yeah, we
were
just, we had so much to talk about today, and so we decided not to air it today. But it will air soon. All right, we'll see you back here same time tomorrow at noon.